We are making a good score of it, though, aren't we? Because we're getting to the last part of Romans. We're going to be in chapter 12. So let's ask the Lord to bless the word. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. What would we do without it, Lord? We would know nothing. And we're so glad, Father, that you have given us the word of God. And you've said that you will bless all of us that study the word of God. And we are so thankful for that. Bless this word now and help us to understand exactly what is being said. Father, bless us each one. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, starting with chapter 12 of the book of Romans. Each one of the chapters have a little title. And so this one has a little title. And we're not having any more of the things about Israel as we had in the three chapters right there evenly. But this chapter 12 now, this chapter could be called the practical side of the gospel. Now, I think all of us know what the gospel is, don't we? That's the message of salvation, the message of the truth. It's the gospel. It's the things that God has allowed to be in our, right here in our midst. Praise the Lord. And many of you, since we were children, we heard the gospel of our salvation, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the practical side of the gospel means that God not only just gives us an understanding of what he's saying, but he tells us how to add that to our life, how to have that in our being and let that thing be part of us. And so that's what we're studying now, is the practical side of the gospel. And Paul starts it out with, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's a good statement. I beseech, it means exhort, implore, and beg. Has a minister ever had to beg before? Yes, ministers have had to beg before. Sometimes things just didn't get quite through. And so, but Apostle Paul was a person who, when he knew something was the truth, he was going to present it. He was going to be right there to tell them what it was and help them know it. And so he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. You know that you and I could not understand the word of God unless it was for the mercies of God. You see, Paul isn't saying, now everybody read this real carefully and then look up all the words in your concordance and everything, and you finally are going to understand this. I want us to all realize that today. The word of God comes to our hearts mostly by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit teaches us the word. And it's taught to us through the word of God. By reading the word, it becomes real to us. And so, praise the Lord, he says, by the mercies of God. It is the mercies of God that he cares about us. And he wants us to know the truth of the word. So it's wonderful to just study the truth of the word. Glory to God. As he says here, this is what he's getting up to. First, the latter part of this. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what he's wanting to bring about. He wants us to present. And the word there in the original is the word that speaks of yield. Yield your body. Yield it. Offer it. Offer it as service to the Lord. Each one of us has a body, praise the Lord, and we have a lot of understanding, we have teaching, we have a lot of things that would lead us to really be someone who could explain the word of God. And that's really what the Lord wants in our life. He wants us to grow in Christ, and we can beseech other people, we can tell them about Jesus, and help them to understand. That's what he wants. And notice he says that you present your body. We present our ears for lots of things, don't we? and we present our eyes for lots of things. Watching TV, all the things we do with our eyes. But the Lord says our body is the place where the living God lives. He lives in us. And those of us who are filled with the Spirit, he fills us with his Holy Spirit. He has wonderful things for us. And so it's not a good excuse to say, well, I don't have time. I'm too busy. You know, all of those things, excuses that sometimes we would give. But to realize that we belong to God, and he wants us to completely surrender our body as an instrument of God. It's called an instrument in other portions. Okay, so he wants us to have, he wants us to present. And this word present in the original means this, to exhibit, to stand before, to yield. That's what that means. Now, that doesn't mean we show off. Boy, I can't stand people that show off. I guess that's just something that I've had since I was a child. But he wants us to exhibit Christ, show forth Christ in our life. Let that be what people see, that we are different from the rest of the world. And notice he says it's our bodies. He wants us to yield our bodies as instruments. Praise the Lord. There are many people who have died in their body, haven't they? They've gone on to be with the Lord over 2,000 years that Christ came, and then Apostle Paul and all the teachings. So our body is a really important thing, and we need to let it be surrendered to Christ. In other words, I don't seek my own good, as a saying. There's a saying that way, to not seek our own good, but to seek the will of God. Seek that Christ be exalted in everything we do. All right. So your body is completely surrendered to the body, this body to Christ. Living sacrifice, a living sacrifice. There are people who have been sacrifices for the Lord, haven't there? In history, even, there have been believers that went to and were killed, like Apostle Paul. His head was chopped off. Peter, he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified like Christ. He felt that was Christ's position. And so, and all of the things that we can think of in history, how that there have been so many Christians who have suffered and died for Christ. And so we have this thing. I'm thankful that we can have this meeting here and not have people come in here and try to beat us up for this or something. But the world is going to get worse. It is. When the tribulation starts here in this world and the old devil is in full charge and old Antichrist and everything, it's going to be horrible. And there's going to be a lot of sacrifice of believers. So many who have died for Christ, Apostle Paul, as I said, and all of the others, all of the disciples given their lives for Christ. Praise the Lord. And we know a lot of believers too. In our time, I know some believers that were so dynamic, like Sister Bodie. You see her writing in your songbook, Mary Bodie. Mary Bodie was a person whose son, she loved the Lord Jesus, and her son was killed by an axe down in a place down in southern Missouri. He went down there by himself and he was cutting some wood and the head of the axe came off and hit him in the head and killed him. Just a young man, 19 years old. And about 2 weeks later, her husband was a man that ran the big newspaper in Kansas City. There were well-off people. But that 2 weeks later, her husband died of a terrible heart attack because the loss of his son was so great that just that. So she was left a maid, just a person by herself, and she dedicated her life to the Lord. She never married again or anything. She just yielded her life to the Lord. I'm thankful for people like that, that really are willing just to give themselves to God, you know? And that's what he wants from us. He wants us to be a living sacrifice. He hasn't called us to die. my husband has gone to be with the Lord, other people that we love, most of my, all of my family now, my brothers and sisters are all with the Lord except me. But that doesn't, that is not what we can focus on. He wants us to right now be in a living for Christ, living sacrifice, willing to give of ourselves, willing to help others. That's the kind of person he wants. And there's great, wonderful reward for that kind of thing. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. All right. In Romans 14:9, I'll read that for you. You don't have to turn it every time I give you something, but it says, "For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living." And that's exactly what the Lord is. He is the Lord of the dead and the living. Those that are gone on to be with the Lord, praise the Lord. They have a better place than we do. They're in heaven, those that really know Jesus as their Savior. And it's a precious thing to think about. Praise the Lord. Now let's see, let's go on. In the latter part of that verse, it says, "Which is your reasonable service?" This is in verse 1 of chapter 12. Reasonable service. It's just logical. It's a logical thing that you and I, of all the suffering of Christ that he did for us, that you and I, we should yield our life to God. We should let him be first in our life. He has suffered so much for us. And that's what that means. It is a reasonable service. Praise the Lord. It's logical service. Hallelujah. And the word service here actually pertains to the ministry of priests. And it's speaking about being spiritual, being a person that can help other people. That's what the Lord wants from us, that we can be a witness to other people. Praise the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing to grow into that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the living sacrifice of our bodies as we give ourselves to the Lord, holy, acceptable unto God. It means, in the Amplified Version, it says well-pleasing to God. Praise the Lord. The word reasonable. Are you reasonable? Are you a reasonable person? Reasonable. It means logical and intelligent. And so when he says it's a reasonable service, that's exactly what he's getting at, is that if we're going to be spiritual people before the Lord, we're going to have some spiritual understanding that shows forth in our life. There's something else that's going to take place there. So let's go to verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Conformed? You get in trouble if you're not conformed. You get in trouble with the worldly people because they do their own thing. They do whatever they want to do. And they think you're kind of funny if you don't do what they do. That's the way it is, isn't it? So, praise the Lord. Be not conformed. Not be fashioned like. In the meaning of it, it means to not be fashioned accordingly to what they believe and they do. And I hope all of us can do that. By faith, we can stand up in a crowd of people, and if they want to do something that's terribly wrong, we can say, "I don't do that," or "Thank you anyway, but I don't do that." And sometimes they get real angry at it too, so praise the Lord. He says, be not conformed to what? This world. Over the centuries, man has changed and gone through all sorts of evil things. This whole time that this earth has been here, Adam and Eve sinned, and then greatly and on down through, men begin and women begin to sin and go against God. And so we know what that is. And that's what the Lord tells us. Don't be conformed to this world, but be you transformed. I like the word transformed. You know what that word is in the Greek? metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. I think everybody here knows what metamorphosis is. So what does God do? He takes us, little puny humans, and maybe we have bad habits and we have things in, of the world, and we, you know, and he works on our lives and he transforms us. He transforms us into a different person, a person that loves God, a person that is following God. Hallelujah. Isn't that beautiful? Praise the Lord. So I'm glad we've been transformed. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you've been transformed. So you don't have to think today, you know, well, maybe I'm not transformed. Yes, you are. If you know Jesus, Jesus has come in your life, and he, that's what his job is. Him and the Holy Spirit are working all the time in our lives, and he's changing us, and that's beautiful. And the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your mind. Boy, I'm glad for that, because, boy, the West world has certain things that they believe, and they do not believe in changing things that they believe in either. But we find out this word renewing means renovation or to renovate. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we hear the word of God, we hear the truth, that's Romans 10:17, and we are renewed in our mind. That's what's happening right now. Each of us is here getting our mind renewed. I hope. I hope you're getting something from this. So things are wonderful when the Lord starts just working in our life and helping us to understand more. Praise the Lord. And he says, the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that's what it goes on in our life. There are many, many different stages of our life as a Christian. And sometimes when we're first born again, we don't understand a lot, you know. And so we have to continually read the word and pray and ask God to teach us, and also be in meetings where we hear the word of God and the continuous thoughts. And it changes us and shows us really what the truth is. So be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by that renovation thing that takes place when Christ is in our heart, that we may prove what is that good. We have somebody come up and they say, what do you believe? And you say, I believe so-and-so. They say, that isn't any good. I don't like that. What, you know, but that's good to you, I hope. I hope that the teaching of the Word of God is very good to you, and that you have the ability to teach it to someone else who asks the question. An acceptable and perfect will of God. The acceptable, that's speaking of the will of God here. And so it's hard sometimes to decipher what is the will of God for my life. You know, does God really want me to do so-and-so, or does he want me to do so-and-so? And so it's kind of hard sometimes, but I'm going to tell you what these words mean. The word acceptable, it means fully agreeable, well-pleasing. So this is a real important part of our life, is that our life in yielding to God and doing what God wants us to do is fully agreeable with God. It's always wanting the will of God in our life, always wanting to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Have him to change us from what we are to his likeness, and then well-pleasing to the God of our Lord, the Lord Jesus God, Christ, Father and Father God, and Jesus Christ, and all, that they be well-pleased with us. And then the word good, he says acceptable, good, and perfect. It's like there's different branches of this. The word good, it speaks of a benefit. It speaks of good things and well things. It's just another portion that's not better than acceptable. In this case, it's a benefit. It is good things that will come our way through the Spirit, letting the Holy Spirit govern our lives. And then the word perfect, Think there's anybody perfect? We don't think that because it's hard sometimes, especially if you live with somebody that thinks they're perfect. And they go around saying, you're not perfect, but I am. So the word perfect here means complete, and it means completeness. It also means of full age, and it speaks of manhood and perfection. So, my goodness, I think we better just give up right now. How can we do that? I'm going to tell you, you can't. You can't just declare that you're going to be something different. The only way to be changed into the likeness of Christ is by seeking God and letting that new life just come into us wholeheartedly. Where I'm walking with God day by day. I'm walking in the Spirit, yielding my life completely to God. That's what we need. That's what it means to be perfect, to be complete in the things of the God. And I'll tell you again, you can't do it in yourself. I'm a human being. I can't do it myself. I have to trust in the living God. He cares about each one of us. Each one of us he cares about. And he is going to do this work in us if we let him do that. And our part is just to say, here I am, Lord. Just allow whatever you want in my life. The Lord will give us that strength to make those type of statements to God. Here I am, Lord. Just teach me. Teach me what you want me to know. It's a precious thing because when we go through that, then we know that it's God. God has. Praise the Lord. In Colossians 4:12, Apostle Paul says there about that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Colossians 4:12, that you may stand. The reason that this work has to be done in our lives is because we're not perfect. When we first come to know the Lord, we're very much a child in the Lord. But we begin to grow by the Word of God being taught to us. We begin to grow. And we can be changed into the likeness of the Lord. And so as that verse says, that you may stand perfect and complete in all of the will of God. So verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, one thing that we know about the scripture, when it says man, it doesn't just mean that God only deals with men. He's speaking about mankind, and every man in the literal meaning. And if you look the word up, this is what it says. Each, every, any. So any man, any woman, any human being, both, each one man or one woman. So God, you know, he loves all of us. And there's places for the men, there's places for the women. We know that. And so when we read a scripture like this, God has dealt with every man the measure of faith. We don't have to feel inferior because we're a woman. So, well, it says only men are getting the great opportunity of faith. See? So that is not what it means. And I looked that up, and so that's exactly what it means. It's speaking of humanity. It's speaking of every man, literally, every person that is in the human race. Each one man, one woman. Praise the Lord. All right? So we're going to go on a little bit more. Verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office. Now, if he's talking about the human body, most of us know about the human body. A lot of us have gone to school, learned up all that stuff. But there are many different things in our body that produce and bring about different things, you know, like our eating and the food being digested and all that stuff. And then it goes to the different cells and, you know, all of that stuff that we know. Well, in the body of Christ, the body of Christ is the people that believe in Jesus, that are the children of the living God. And so here it says, as we have many members in one body. See, there's just one group. And a lot of people don't understand that. They see the numbers of churches that there are, and they also see all the different types of religions and what they believe and all that, and it seems like, well, there's gods and gods and gods of different believers. But the Word of God is the truth. And so as we study the Word of truth, then we are in one body. We are in one accord about everything. And all of, it says that, and all members have not the same office. If we were all preachers, what would we do? We'd have a hard time, wouldn't we? If we were all certain ones, each one of us has a, God has a reason for us to be a child of God and be walk in that duty, we might say, that thing that God has given for us. Whatever that is, he wants us to recognize that and walk in that thing. He has dealt with every man, any, it means any, both, everyone is in the meaning of that word. The measure of faith. He has given us the measure of faith. Praise the Lord. So, verse 4, we have that many members in one body, and all the members have not the same office. So there's a lot of different ones. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We don't have a written rule here. I mean, a book or something you have to write your name in and swear that you'll absolutely do everything we say. We don't have that. We believe that the Word of God shows us that when we are saved or born again, we become a child of the living God. And we belong to the church. We belong to the real church, to the Lord Jesus Christ being the head of the church. And so praise the Lord for that, that we know those truths. And we have different gifts, as verse 6 says, that God gives. It's an enabling, as it says there, according to the grace. That word actually interpreted is enabling, or he will give ability. He will give ability. If he calls somebody to teach the word, one of the things they're going to have to do is learn the word. They'll have to begin to study the word and cry out to God for strength to do that and be led by the Holy Spirit. Be willing to be led by the Holy Spirit so that when they speak, it's of God. Everyone can understand it. It's of God. Praise the Lord. I had another verse that I was going to read there at verse 4, so I'm going to read this just, and you don't have to turn in your Bible. Ephesians 4:7, every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every one of you, every one of you, me too, we were all given the grace of God. And he gave some apostles, he gave some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. He gave all these different groups of people because this is the way things work. This is of God. It works this way. And that's really godly. It's a thing of God. So all of us really need to just say, here I am, Lord. I want to do your will. Whatever your will is for my life, that's what I want. If you want me to be a minister, you'll help me do that. If you want me to do so-and-so, I feel like maybe you're speaking to me, then we will do that. So, in verse 5, and so being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Everyone members one of another. We know what a member is in our body. my wrist, my elbow, my arm, my head, my neck. We've got lots of members. And so the body of Christ, the spiritual body that's made up of all believers, is a body of many, many people and many, many different kinds of people that do various different things. In Galatians 3:28, you don't need to turn there, but I'll just read it to you. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So that's what the scripture says. So we don't have to say, well, you know, I'm not certain, I'm not a Jew, so I can't enter into the things of God. We know that's wrong. And we can say, well, I'm not a man, and so God won't use me that way. That's not the way it is at all. He does not see that kind of thing in his group of people that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has a body. He has a spiritual body made of the people of God. And he has given to each one of us whatever gift he wants us to have. And we can all pray about that. We can say, Lord, what is the gift you want me to have? And he will do that. He will give you a wonderful thing. We're going to stop right there, and we'll take it up with verse 6 next time.